Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
The question that we look at today comes to us from a man named Martin in Lusaka, Zambia. And Martin has written a letter with a number of questions in it. We'll handle as many as time will allow. The first question reads, why do Christians go to hospitals when they are sick? Well, the reason for this is that a Christian or any person when sick needs the medical care that a doctor can give him in order to recover. There are some religions that teach that Christians should not seek medical care, but the Bible does not support that opinion at all. We notice from the Bible that the man Luke, who wrote the Gospel according to Luke and also wrote the book of Acts, who traveled with Paul on many of his missionary journeys, was a doctor. He was a physician. We also notice that Jesus referred to himself as the great physician and pointed out that he came to seek those who were spiritually sick. And he used a very well understood principle to show why he came to sinners. He said, they which are whole do not need a physician. Well, this means that they which are sick do need a physician. This was something that was easily understood by the people of his day. They understood that when someone is sick, there are oftentimes things that can be done by doctors in hospitals that will help them to recover. For this reason, a Christian, if he is ill, would go to a hospital and seek such medical care. Now, some teach that a Christian shouldn't do this because we should simply pray to God and ask Him to heal us directly. The Bible teaches us that there is a time, or was a time, when God did intervene directly and supernaturally, when God would make disease go away. Jesus healed many during His life here. Jesus also had disciples who went out and they had the ability to heal others. The apostles had the ability to lay their hands on someone and that person would have the ability to heal others or some other spiritual gift. But the Bible clearly teaches us from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that the time of those gifts has passed, that we now have the perfect revelation of God's Word. Therefore, that time of the miraculous no longer exists. A Christian should not sit and wait for some miracle to be done in order that he might be healed. Rather, a Christian should turn to those things that are available here in this earth and at the same time pray to God. Pray that if it's possible that God providentially, not miraculously, but providentially will intervene, that he can find the appropriate help and that he will be healed and he can be restored to a normal measure of his health. By doing so, you do pretty much all that you can do. It is a fact that our bodies wear down, and eventually we will all die. But that doesn't mean that we should not seek the care that is available to us here on this life, while it is available. A second question he asks is, how can somebody be a member of the Church of Christ? This is a very simple process. The Bible teaches us that the only church that Jesus built is the one that bears His name. It's the one that He bought with His blood, according to Acts chapter 20. It's the one that He built, according to Matthew chapter 16. It's the one that He died for. And it's the one that we are added to, according to Acts chapter 2, when we turn to Him in obedience. That really answers the question. You can become a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ, by being obedient to Christ, by studying your Bible and learning that He would have you to believe in Him, and that He would have you to repent of your sins, to change your life and do what He wants you to do instead of what you might choose to do. That you must confess His name before men. Because if we don't confess Him here on earth before men, then in the last day He will not confess us before the Father, according to Matthew chapter 10. We also learn that to be added to enter into Christ, to enter into His church, we must be born again, according to John 3 and verse 5, and that birth is born of water and of the Spirit. This is baptism in water according to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. This is washing away our sins in baptism, according to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. This is the baptism that saves, according to 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. This is the baptism that brings about remission of our sins, according to Acts 2 and verse 38. This is a burial in water, calling upon the name of the Lord, that He will save us by the blood of Christ, according to Acts 22 and verse 16. That is how we enter into Christ. That's how we enter the church of Christ, the one that He bought and the one that He built. I think we do have time for one more question. We'll have to handle it very quickly, though. A third question he asks is, why do you like to condemn other churches? Well, I can't say that we like to condemn other churches, but at the same time, there are many religions in the world today. Jesus claims to have built only one, to have bought only one, to be the head of only one. That means that all of these other religions that exist are contrary to His will. They're not His body. They're not His kingdom. They're not His church. They are the kingdoms and the churches of men rather than the kingdom and the church of Christ. Because of that, we as Christians are given the Bible so that we know what we must do in order to be pleasing to God. And one of those things is that we must teach the truth so that all in the world will know what the Bible says. You cannot possibly do that without sooner or later running across a certain denominational group that teaches something contrary to the Bible. And when people believe that, you have a choice. You can either leave them in their sin, leave them with their misunderstanding of God's Word, leave them doing what is wrong, or you can take them to God's Word, show them that the Bible condemns what they are doing, that the Bible calls them to repent, that the Bible shows them the correct path that they should walk, and that the Bible tells them how to enter into Christ's church. By doing that, it is not me or any other one preacher who condemns a particular religious group, who condemns some other church. But rather, when a group of people do wrong and do what's contrary to the Bible, it is the Bible that condemns what they're practicing. It's the Bible that condemns that particular denominational group, that particular church. We don't find any great pleasure in telling someone that they're doing something that is wrong. That's never pleasurable for any of us. But at the same time, we will all have to answer to God for the things that we do in this life. And if we have an opportunity to teach someone what the truth is, and we fail to do that, then we'll have to answer for that. I would rather hurt someone's feelings here on earth. I would rather make someone uncomfortable here on earth than to stand before God in the day of judgment, knowing I had the opportunity to tell this person what the truth is and didn't take it. God has given us the responsibility of acting as lights in the world, and we cannot hide that light and still fulfill the role that our Master and Lord has given us.